In William Lande's best-selling novel Defending Jacob, a Massachusetts assistant district attorney is forced to re-examine what he thinks he knows about his life after his 14-year-old son is accused of murder. Chris Evans starred in the Apple TV Plus miniseries based on the book. In this scene, Evans comes clean to his wife and son about a longtime lie.
My father, your grandfather, he's in prison. He's been there for a very long time. Last time I saw him, I was 6 years old. My mother took me to see him in prison right after his arrest.
You said he left when you were just a baby.
That's what I told everybody growing up. It's the same lie my mother told people.
Lande has a new novel out, and family and secrets are at the center again. All That Is Mine, I Carry With Me tells the story of the Larkin family, the father, a prominent attorney, with a wife and three children. One day in 1975, the young Larkin daughter comes home from school to find her mother gone, vanished. Her father quickly comes under suspicion for murder, but it's only suspicion, and the mother's absence haunts the children for decades. Again, the book is All That Is Mine, I Carry With Me, and William Lande joins us now in the studio. Bill, welcome.
Thank you.
So the book starts with the narrator having writer's block, and I wondered, were you struggling to write? How did this story come to you?
I was certainly struggling to follow a book like Defending Jacob. I didn't want to write Defending Jacob 2. I did want to continue to explore what I've always explored in my books, which is the intersection of crime and family and what crime can tell us about ourselves. So this is really a story. It's about a missing woman case, but it's mostly about the effect of that woman's disappearance on her family and particularly on her children, never knowing what happened for sure, never being able to resolve that doubt.
So let's stay with that for a minute, because in thinking about the book, it's haunted. It's a haunting book, and it's haunting on several levels. You just talked about one of the ways that it's haunting, which is you're haunted by a missing loved one. But there are a couple of other ways that it's haunting, too. The lack of justice when you don't know, right, is haunting. And it is haunting to find out that you don't know the ones you love the way you think maybe you do as well. And I found myself thinking, you know, after the book, kind of this is a horror story in some ways. I don't think you set out to write a horror story, but is it?
I think it's interesting to think of it in that way, because what you're suggesting is that horror stories or crime stories can tell us about ourselves. Horror stories aren't necessarily about monsters. Crime stories don't resonate with us necessarily because they're about criminals. It's always interesting to me that people who have no other interest in crime or criminals will happily read about murders and thugs and thieves. I think what this suggests is that these sorts of stories tell us something about larger issues than crime itself.
In both of these books, you have, you know, in Defending Jacob, parents, and in All That Is Mine, I Carry With Me, kids, adult kids who, and I don't think it's spoiling anything to say, eventually become caretakers, right? Mm-hmm. Who now have to make a choice, right? Which is to be deeply disturbed by the possibility of what someone you're responsible for caring for may be, which is a monster, actually. Mm-hmm. And yet choosing to continue to be the caregiver anyway. And that is fascinating to me. And I wonder why you think your readers lean into reading about that. Why is that compelling?
Well, I think it is because it is a universal experience. What you're describing as monstrous is really not unusual in family relationships. There are things about all of our relatives that we might change. And yet, unlike friendships or work colleagues or acquaintances, we don't get to choose these relationships and we don't largely get to walk away from them. That is the trap that these children find themselves in. They don't know what their father may or may not have done in this case. They don't know what may have happened to their mother. And so they're left to wonder. And yet during all of that wondering, they don't have the option of leaving because this is a family. You can have less contact with your father. You can't change who your father is. And so that is the universality that I think makes these sort of stories more resonant.
Do you ever dislike the characters you're writing as you write them?
There'd be a lot of self-loathing in that because, of course, all of the characters that I write necessarily are part of myself.
They
have to be to some extent, because even if you pattern them on other people, they take on a life of their own, and necessarily you are reaching within yourself. This book in particular is a book that borrows from my own life for a lot of the details, and that was very intentional as well. I wanted this book to feel personal and feel authentic, and so it opens in a memoir kind of tone, and that is a sense of genuineness that I think you can only get if you're willing to look inside yourself and pull those characters and their behaviors from your own history and from your own heart.
So then what is it like to have a book, you know, with Defending Jacob, for example, put onto a screen that is now manifested fully in the flesh with other people, different bodies, different voices, with a Chris Evans, right, who is fully human manifest. And it's supposed to be pieces of you, but now it's been taken away from you.
It's a very strange thing. And with the movie, I always separated myself from it because I feel as though books and film are just different mediums. And what will work in one will not necessarily work in another. And the power of one is very different from the power of another. Film is very specific, and you're right. When actors inhabit these roles and embody them, it's very hard to imagine yourself into them. But when you read a book, the vision of a character, at least to me when I read, never quite coheres into a physical picture. I don't picture Chris Evans or Michelle Dockery in any of these roles. What I'm seeing when I read is the character themselves. It's their true nature. And to me, that's a more intimate way to meet a person. You don't simply see them as we see anyone else that we meet during the day. You enter their stream of consciousness. You hear their thoughts. It's a close connection that isn't possible in ordinary human interactions. And that's why we feel very strongly about the fictional characters that we read. That's why books move us very deeply. And it's also why sometimes readers will come up to me and feel as if they know me, because in a way they do. We've had this intimate mind-to-mind connection.
So I did wonder then, now that one of your books was put into film, does knowing that's a possibility in some way interfere with the creative process of writing the next one?
I try not to let it. I don't picture myself as having anything to do with the film industry. And in fact, I feel that this book is more difficult to adapt than Defending Jacob was, only because of the very long time spans and some of the challenges that the structure of the book entails. This is a book that's told in various parts. It jumps around in time and it jumps around in point of view. So the structure of the book is complex and it is necessarily literary. And some of these devices just wouldn't translate directly to film.
One could come away from this book and believe in justice a little bit less. So what do you want readers to take away?
Well, I think we should all understand that our justice system is very imperfect, and the last couple of decades have made that abundantly clear. However, the reason that the justice system is vulnerable to error is because it is necessarily populated and administered by human beings who bring all kinds of biases to it, who make all kinds of errors in perception, in memory, in narration. And that makes the system of fact-finding error-prone and sometimes very unjust. It's also interesting, though, that those errors of perception and memory and narration are also what makes novels work. And it's why criminal cases are such an apt subject for novelists. It really gets to how we perceive the world and how we experience one another.
The author is William Lande, and the book is All That Is Mine I Carry With Me. Bill, thank you.
Thank you.